Thank you, Brother Norm, and thank you, folks, for that good singing. It's a pleasure to sing praises to our Lord. Can I give you just a brief update on Paul and Lois Logan? As most of you know, my sister-in-law, Lois Logan, developed cerebral malaria 2.5 months ago in Africa. The Lord very graciously spared her life after she was in coma for a week. And she does have residual damage to her optic nerve and has central vision loss. The doctors are not holding out much hope for improvement. Hebrews 11 talks about people who through faith overcame, and others who through faith God gave them the strength to go through difficult circumstances. And maybe it's going to be the latter. We appreciate your continued prayers that if it's the Lord's will for her to regain at least enough vision for her to be able to read, we'd appreciate it. Paul has come through the brain surgery very well, which he had about 3-4 weeks ago, a brain tumor the size of an orange. It was partially removed. In 2 days' time, 3 days' time, they plan to do an MRI this Wednesday and see how much is left there and make a decision as to whether further surgery is needed or not. Possibly further surgery, possibly radiation, possibly chemotherapy. He's recovered beautifully from the surgery. 13 days after he had this tumor removed from his brain, he preached at the assembly where he goes. Lord gives strength and gives power. They did ask that we had the pleasure of them staying with us, Paul and Lois and their girls, this past weekend, and they did ask, please give our marked appreciation and thanks to all of you folks who've been praying for them. They appreciate it, and please continue to pray for them. I'd like to thank Clint for his gracious doing a switcheroo from last Sunday morning. We were going to try it, but it would have been kind of tough getting here from York through all that snow, and today's a beautiful day to drive, and appreciate you folks looking ahead. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13, if you would, please. Proverbs 13. We'll read at verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'd like to talk this morning about companionship. There's value in companionship. You've seen these beautiful geese flying overhead in a V formation as they head south or head north. And studies have shown there's a good reason why they fly in that formation. The lead bird breaks the wind and forms a partial vacuum for the other birds following him. They take turns having the leadership, and they've done wind tunnel studies on these birds and found out that they can fly 72% farther and faster if they fly in a V formation rather than just a bird flying alone. With good companionship, there's real value. Which one of us hasn't been taught from when we were knee-high to a grasshopper that don't talk to strangers? Ruthie and I were taking a walk the other day, and there's this little group of old, probably about 5-year-old kids, and 4 or 5 of them had gotten separated from the woman who was in charge of them, and as we were walking along the road, we came to within earshot, and we heard this one little fellow look at us and say to a friend, "Don't talk to them." There's another friend of ours who's a kindly old gentleman, and he was sitting on a park bench one day in York, and this little fellow came down, beautiful summer day, and came and sat on the park bench, and just the two of them sitting there in silence, and this little fellow finally turned to him and said, "Are you a stranger?" He says, "Well, I guess I am. Well, then I can't talk to you." There's value in good companionship. George Washington said, "Associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation, for it is better to be alone than in bad company." Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, German poet and dramatist, said, "Tell me with whom thou art found, and I will tell thee who thou art." Companions. And here the wisest man, under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, writes, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Sort of good news, bad news, isn't it, in that verse? Good news and then the bad news. Well, let's take the bad news first and get that out of the way. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, we read, "Bad company corrupts good morals." And of course, we don't need to be reminded of that. We know that that is true. We were watching a newscast the other day, and astonished to hear that some $50 billion are spent annually on cigarettes. Now, we know what cigarettes do. They block arteries and hasten things like heart attacks, hasten things like strokes, hasten things like having to have an amputation for an arm or usually a leg because of blockage of the arteries, causes cancer of the throat, causes cancer of the lips, causes cancer of the lungs, causes cancer of the bladder. People who are exposed to noise and smoke lose their hearing faster than those who are exposed to noise and don't smoke. People who smoke have more back problems, are more likely to have back problems. No end of damage that it does to our bodies. So many of these things are known. In fact, every package of cigarettes has written right on it, "This is dangerous to your health." Yet people spend $50 billion a year I'm smoking. So my purpose isn't a hit. Smoking, yes, I'm a doctor, and I think anyone who does smoke is not being very smart. I wonder why, you know, I can understand someone who's 50 or 60 years old. You know, when I was young, thankfully I never did it, but the young people, they would sneak out behind the barn and catch a cigarette, and the parents would be telling you shouldn't do this. Nowadays, it's the kids are telling the parents you shouldn't be smoking. I can see people who are 50, 60 years old and hooked on cigarettes and would love to quit. What I can't understand is a young person, a teenager, who knows all this and starts. And not infrequently in my job, I'll talk to a young person, someone 20 years old, how long have you been smoking? Oh, 2 years. Tell me, why did you start? Oh, my friends were smoking. Amazing. I use that, my aim isn't to preach against cigarettes, but I use that as an illustration of this verse, "The companion of fools shall be destroyed." Turn to Psalm 1, if you would, please. And here we have a very succinct description of avoiding bad companions. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The first statement is, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Loose relationship, light companionship, walking along, follows the step with another traveler. Nice day today, yeah, beautiful day for a walk, yeah. "Where are you from?" Oh, so and so. "Where are you from?" A little bit of conversation, very light, loose relationship. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, "Avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness." So we have to be careful even of these very loose relationships. Why? Because they can become firmer. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." First, they were just walking along, falling into step, talking as they went along the way. Then one person has got to his destination, And he should go on into his house, and the other one should get on his way. But they stop, and they stand, and they talk for a while. A little bit stronger relationship. The next verse in 2 Timothy 2, their talk will spread like gangrene. This is why we should avoid empty chatter. See, things have sort of progressed. And then it goes on, and it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. They're standing outside the home. Here, look, why don't you stop in and have something to drink? Well, don't mind if I do. Sit down. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A lot closer relationship. Initially, they're just walking, then standing, now sitting, being a companion to this person. And again, the following verse in 2 Timothy 2 says, the reason to be careful is that such talk has overthrown the faith of some. So in companionship, we have to be careful with these light companionships that become stronger and stronger and stronger and can go in the wrong direction. Speaking of sitting in the seat of the scornful, what is, would you say, is the greatest companion, bad companion, sitting with Christians today? I think it's the TV. And isn't it scornful of our Lord? The things that are on there? Even a documentary. They don't give God credit. Make it crazy statements. You know, these migrating geese have developed ability to fly south. Oh, they did? What'd they do? Have a big conference one day and say, listen, we've got to figure out a way to get south. And so they've developed a way. Doesn't make a lot more sense that a creator did it? The seat of the scornful. And just a word to the wise. Yes, I'm not saying we need to get rid of the TV, but be careful with it. Be careful with that companionship, sitting in the seat of the scornful. These verses here demonstrate to us why we have to be careful with what companions we choose, because the relationships can get stronger and stronger and stronger. Why do we advise our young people? Why did our parents advise us? Don't date non-Christians. Because it can become stronger and stronger. Yes, it can be initially a very light, loose relationship, and then love sets in, and then marriage, and then unequally yoked, and what a burden this can be for a Christian who's trying to serve the Lord. In verse 2, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is a person who has good companions, who avoids bad companions. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And perhaps this is just hinting to us that if we find it's kind of hard that to get down to reading the Scriptures, if the Bible is not our delight, maybe the problem with some is our companionship. Perhaps our human companionship, people we spend time with, perhaps even just worldly magazines, and I don't necessarily mean bad magazines, but magazines that don't honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we have to read news magazines, or there's some value in it, but our companionship should be with things that uplift us. With a TV, are we spending too much time with that? That our delight is not in the law of the Lord our God. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. Second Corinthians, and we'll read a chapter 6. Second Corinthians 6, and let's read a verse 14 here. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We all know this passage of Scripture, and we know it's true. But how does it work out in everyday life? I have a secular job, and tomorrow morning I'm going to be rubbing shoulders with people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. One person with whom I work who does not believe there's a God. Some people among whom we work have lifestyles that we know are abominable in the Lord's eyes. This is saying to me, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. How does this work out in everyday life? Well, notice what our scripture says today. It says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, James and John, when they were, Peter and John in Acts 4, they were among people who did not have a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were being persecuted for it. And then we read these words in verse 23. It says, being let go, they went to their own company. Our companions are people to whom we gravitate at the end of the day. People we don't necessarily have to be with in our work. Who are our companions? On Wednesday night, when there's a meeting at the chapel, do I gravitate to that meeting? Are these my companions? Is that where I love to be? Or are my companions the people with whom I feel comfortable, people who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't misunderstand me. We are to reach out to the ones who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The Lord, when he prayed in John 17, says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, his disciples. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. He can keep us in an evil world, from the evil that is there. But when we are let go, to whom do we gravitate? Who are our companions? Who are our close friends? Who are the ones to whom we go for close fellowship and friendship? How do we do this in everyday life? We live in an evil world. And how do we separate ourselves from the world, and how do we have companions that are good, and how do we keep ourselves from the evil that is in the world? The Lord Jesus was in a sinful world, just as sinful as it is today. The human heart is desperately wicked, the Bible tells us. But it says in Hebrews 7, verse 26, he was separate from sinners. Now, he was among sinners, but he was separate from sinners. And he is given as our example. So if I have to live in an evil world, I should see how Christ did it in order to be able to live a life that is separate from sinners, but where I have good companions. Let me read to you from Matthew 14:23. The Lord had spent a busy, busy day with a crowd, hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And then it says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Luke 6:12, he spent all night in prayer. He is our example. How am I going to be separate from the world in which I live? Spend time in prayer the way my Savior did. Have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be close to him. Secondly, how did the Lord keep separate from sinners? He used the Word of God. He wrote the Word of God, so obviously he knew it. He's all all-knowing anyway, but he is the Word. But he used the Word. Remember the time he went into the temple and he found people, ostensibly, who should have been known better, and they were buying and selling and cattle lowing and sheep bleeding, and the Lord says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." He had the scriptures there right ready for the evil world in which he lived. Secondly, spend time in the Word. So when the world impinges itself upon us, this is the way, you know, this is the way to live nowadays. Ruthie and I, for several years, used to send out a tract and a personal letter to every newlywed couple in York who got married. Did it for about 3 years, sent out several thousand letters and tracts, and got some interesting responses. But you know what? We found out about where the address was, we'd find their picture in the paper, and we'd send them a picture and say, "You thought you'd like another copy of your wedding picture." And they'd have an address there. You know, as we looked at these addresses, if I remember correctly, it was something like 60% of them had the same address before they're married as after they're married. This is an evil world we live in. And the world is trying to tell us this is normal. I must spend time in the world so that I know what is normal and what is right and what is right in the eyes of God. How do I keep myself separate from sinners? Know the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Thirdly, the Lord arranged for His disciples to spend time with Him and with the other disciples. In John 18:2, we read, describing the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, "Jesus often met there with His disciples." And I think this is a great way to have good companions, is to gravitate toward the believers, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, those who hold Him high. Spend time with those, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with those who love Him. As we see these verses here in 2 Corinthians 6, there is a real need for definite separation. There must be a parting the way sometimes, and sometimes very, very clearly, between us who love the Lord and those who do not. Turn to Numbers chapter 16, if you would, please. Numbers chapter 16. This is a story of Korah, a man who was against God and against God's chosen people, Moses and Aaron, and he staged an insurrection against them, and really cut Moses to the heart, and the Lord intervened, and in verse 23 of Numbers 16 we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up about the tabernacle, from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Get away from them. Touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins." Verse 27, "So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in their tent of their in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little ones." And the story goes on, and you remember the story, how the Lord intervened. In verse 32 it says, "The earth opened up and her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed about them, and they perished from among the congregation." Then I think the next verse is very interesting. You notice earlier we had read that they departed from Korah and Dathan and Abiram. They departed, they got out of there. Look what the next verse says. "And they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And then verse 34, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Isn't that amazing? Yes, they departed. Look, something's bad going to happen. Get away from these people. Get away from them. Something's bad is going to, okay, so they clear the deck, get away from these evil men. But apparently they weren't too far. The earth opens up, and they start fleeing and crying out in fear. It's going to swallow us up too. Brothers and sisters, perhaps some of this urgency should be in our minds. Yes, we must reach out to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the things with which they are associated, we must totally disassociate ourselves with. These are evil things. And when God's judgment falls, it'll be very impressive that this is wrong. There must be a very definite separation in our minds and even physically between what ourselves as Christians and what Satan is putting into the world today as normal. Those who have not followed this good advice of avoiding bad companions have lived to regret it. And the story, the scriptures are replete with stories of people who ran into major problems because they had bad companions. Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, was the grandson of the wonderful King David, great man of God. Rehoboam was named by his mom and dad Rehoboam, which is he who enlarges the people. And what happened? He had bad companions, and he followed their advice, and he lost most of his kingdom. He who enlarges the people. Jehoshaphat, good king. He had riches and honor and abundance. But then in 2 Chronicles 18:1 we read he joined affinity with Ahab. And of course you remember who Ahab was. An awful, awful king. Evil man. Very evil man, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. And he paid for it. Ahab said, let's go off to war. Okay, fine, I'll go with you. Syrians, let's go fight them. Okay, sure, let's go. And you remember the story? Jehoshaphat was out in his chariot, his kingly chariot, and the Syrians had been given instructions, go for the king of Israel, no one else. And there was Jehoshaphat in his kingly robes, in the royal chariot, and they were surrounded. He was suddenly surrounded by Syrians, and he cried out in fear. He said, I'm not the king of Israel. The Lord, in very kindness, pulled these people away and saved his life. Jehoshaphat chose a bad companion and almost lost his life. The Lord noticed it too. He sent Jehu the prophet to him and said, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Samson chose bad companions. He lost his strength. He lost his eyesight. And he lost his life. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, that evil, evil city. In Genesis 13 we read, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. What did it cost Lot? It cost him virtually everything he had. It cost him his wife. It cost him the virtue of his daughters. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman in the world today in which we live, and you're offered a promotion, and that promotion means pitching your tent closer to Sodom. More association with people who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider turning down that promotion and rather take a financial loss than to go the route of loss. Companions are important. Of the tribe of Ephraim in Hosea 7 we read, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people, strangers have devoured his strength. The result of Ephraim, so was the person or a whole tribe that chooses bad companionship, is a price to be paid. In contrast to this, in Psalm 26 we read these lovely words, I have not sat with vain persons. I have loved the habitation of thy house. And in verse 12 of that same psalm is the result, which is stability. My foot standeth in an even place. So that brings us to the good news. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. It's much more fun to end up on this side, on the positive side, choosing good companions. A newspaper years ago in Britain had a essay contest, and they were supposed to have an essay based on what is the shortest way to London. And they had a lot of entries. And this is the essay in toto that won the competition. The shortest way to London is with good company. The shortest way to London is with good company. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now what does this mean, wise? Does that mean if I don't have an IQ of 180 that you can't associate with me? Does that mean before I develop a close friendship with someone, I've got to say, now are you a university president? May I see your curriculum vitae? The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And could I just pause right here and say, the greatest companion of all is Jesus Christ. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother through the ups of life, through the downs of life. He is the greatest companion of all. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is He your companion? Is He your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you turned your life over to Him and said, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I can't make it myself. I realize that I have sinned against You. I realize I deserve Your punishment. I ask You to be my Savior, my Lord, and my guide. He's the greatest companion of all. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then this gives a little hint of what kind of companions, human companions, we should choose. Turn to Psalm 119, if you would, please. Psalm 119. And verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. We've touched on this briefly earlier. Who should my companions be? My close friends? Those who fear the Lord. Those who hold the Lord in respect. These should be my companions. I am a companion of them that fear thee. And secondly, of them that keep thy precepts. Secondly, I should be search for friendship among those who pattern their lives after the precepts that are found in the Scriptures. I should be search out friends who fear the Lord, and then those who pattern their lives after what God wants them to be. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. Verse 22, and the first part of the verse says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. These are things we are to seek and search out. Faith, charity, peace. Then it says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So thirdly, I should seek friends, companions, who have a pure heart, who have a conscience void of offense before God. No one's sinless. But who live their lives day by day without glaring inconsistencies in their life. They're living lives, seeking as best they can to live the life that God would have them to live. Notice what we read back in Psalm 119 and verse 63. Those who keep thy precepts. Yes, in this world in which we live, there's a lot of empty chatter about God. People do him obeisance, but their heart is far from him. Those who keep his precepts. Search out friendships among those who hold God in respect, those who pattern their lives after what the Bible teaches, those who have a clear conscience. In Malachi 3:16 we read, they that love the Lord spake often one to another. Search out friendship, companionship, close relationships with those who talk about the Lord Jesus. Ruthie and I had a delightful experience some 25 years ago. We were in a home in Michigan, stayed in the home of a Christian with the improbable name of Homer Snook. But you know what? 25 years later, that evening stands out in our memory. He was just bubbling over, talking about the Lord. This verse and that verse. Hey, did I tell you about what the Lord did for me the other day? Say, I had a lovely answer to prayer. People who chatter about the Lord Jesus and about his goodness and his kindness and his care. People who talk about the Lord. Search out those to make our close companions, our close friendships. Philippians 4:3, Paul addresses his true yoke fellow. A yoke, oxen and yoke, working together, laboring together. What better way to have good companionship than serving the Lord shoulder to shoulder with other believers? Search out those who are serving the Lord, who are busy for him, who are active for him. Hebrews 10 refers to Christians who had suffered for the name of Christ, and it says, ye became companions of them that were so used. So I think, sixthly, we should search out those who have even suffered for the name of Christ. Perhaps a missionary that you know of who has suffered for the name of Christ. Get out your pen, develop a friendship with that person. It can be a strengthening experience to your spiritual life. People who you know in the assembly who have gone through suffering and come through it praising the Lord, develop a friendship, a companionship with such people. And then finally in Romans 12:16 it says, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the humble. That's a good kind of companion to have, isn't it? Not a blowhard, but the humble. So let me just review these 7 points again of the type of people that we as Christians should choose as a companion. Those who hold the Lord in respect. Those who reverence him. Not those who are scornful of him, but those who hold him in respect. Those who pattern their lives after what the Bible teaches. And those who have a clear conscience. Are honestly trying to live the way the Lord would have them live. Those who talk about the Lord. It's just on their, the Lord is on their lips. Those who are busy for the Lord, serving the Lord. Those who have suffered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are humble before God. These are good companions. We've read this verse from Proverbs. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I want to read in closing an astonishing story, an astonishing event. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, we'll read that. 1 Kings chapter 11. The verse that we've been using as our text this evening was written by, penned by the hand of Solomon, a very, very wise king. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit had him write those words, which is the reason we know it's the Word of God and the reason we spend time on it. But let me read to you about King Solomon. Verse 7 of 1 Kings 11. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh,
who's Chemosh? The idol, the abomination of Moab, a heathen country, a heathen tribe, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, right by the holy city. And for Molech, who's Molech? The abomination, the idol of the children of Ammon. Another heathen group of people. Solomon, you wrote those words. How could this happen? You start off so good. You spent time on your knees when you became king and said, Lord, I'm not worthy to be king of these people. I need help. Solomon, you asked for God for help, and he said, sure, I'll give you help. I'll give you great wisdom. I'll give you ability to rule. I'll make you a great king. And look at what you're doing. Solomon. These gods, Chemosh and Molech, these are people where they took little children and sacrificed them to these heathen non-existent gods. And you build altars to them? Solomon, what's going on? Well, let's see how it happens. Look at verse 1, 1 Kings 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, Egyptian heathen, women of the Moabites, heathen people, Ammonites, heathen people, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, people who did not know and love the Lord. Of the nations concerning the which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon prayed to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and what happened? His wives turned away his heart. Amen. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. And here this great king winds up building altars to Chemosh, to Molech, where little babies were sacrificed to a heathen non-existent god. Solomon, what happened to you? Verse 9. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto him, Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. What's the message? Brothers and sisters, it's not enough just to know the things we've been talking about. We've got to do them. If there's a relationship in my life and your life that is drawing us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, break that friendship. Stop it. End it now. He, a companion of fools, shall be destroyed. And the Lord warns us. And he warns Solomon. He says, you shouldn't go after these people. Stay away from them. But Solomon loved them. Loved many of them. And they turned his heart from the God that he loved. Brothers and sisters, watch the companions that we have. Watch the relationships that we have. Yes, reach out to the world, those who do not know the Lord. But who are our close friends? Who are our companions? It should be those who love and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Again, talking about companions, the greatest companion of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful companion, a companion who will never let us down, a companion who will always steer us right, a companion in whom we can always trust, a companion who is love itself. And we read in the Word of God, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very, very much for your Word, the Word that tells us straight, just like it is. Father, we recognize we live in an evil world, and we don't have to go far at all or spend much time at all in the world to realize that this world is at enmity with you. Father, we are gathered here this morning as your children. Father, we do love you, and we want our lives to bring you pleasure and to bring you joy and to bring you honor. Father, we pray that you'll help us to take to heart these words from your word, from your holy scriptures about companions. Father, help us to choose good companions. Help us to walk with those who love you, to sit with those who love you, to spend time with those who love you, so that we can be helped and we can help them, so we can be strong in the way in which we go. And Father, we thank you very, very much for the companion of all companions, the friend who sits closer than the brother, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know there are many evil influences, but Father, you are all-powerful. You are totally strong. You've told us how to live and how to order our lives that will bring you honor and bring you praise. Father, thank you very much for the time we've had. You've given us this morning to open your word and to learn from it. Help us to put it into practice day by day. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his glory, amen.